possible. The water's not deep enough for anyone to hide. She has to be up ahead.
No, he's right.
She's behind us.
How the hell can you know that?
You can feel her current, you moron.
The captain gave a hand signal, and three of the police officers crouched back down the catwalk, flicking their lights on despite Rampart's complaints. The harsh white beams swept the dirty concrete and spoiled brick, scattering clusters of frightened roaches but revealing little else.
Sir, there's nothing here. It's only...
His head twisted backwards, the black balaclava suddenly dripping and ridiculously skewed. An instant later, the cop next to him simply folded in half. Human flesh poured out of the wall beside them in a wave, piling into a mass that stretched across the catwalk and spilled into the water, growing and growing. It seemed the Selfer could crawl through walls after all. She had lost all human form. The flesh was completely protean, an amorphous mass of pink skin flexing and pulsing. It was dotted here and there with eyes, fingernails, knobs of bone and hair. Rampart jumped forward, extending his arms. Britton could feel his current race forward, interlacing with the Selfer's flow, and shunted aside. Rampart stumbled backward, his own tide swamped by the Selfer's magic, far too strong for him to roll back.
Oh, shit!
A rending magic grasped the top of his head and folded his skull in on itself. The NYPD officers knelt. The Selfer shook under the onslaught and slouched forward, rolling over herself, reaching out toward them. A bone spur, long as a spear, shot from the mass, catching him through the throat. Another cop simply detonated.
Get the hell out of here!
Downer stepped up, gesturing at the water.
This isn't gonna do it! I need something more to work with!
Britton opened a gate and sent it sliding past the retreating cops. The blob didn't even make an effort to dodge, the lurching flesh barreling directly into it. The gate sliced it neatly in half, the edges peeling back to reveal a stack of gristle and organs that followed no anatomical pattern that Britton knew of. It fountained blood, shaking as if in rage, halting. And then the flesh simply flowed over itself, growing back together and moving forward. Downer collapsed, her pelvis and legs twisted into a bloody corkscrew. Therese knelt at her side, eyes closed, magic pouring out over Downer's mangled body, rolling back the damage.
Some of it's dead!
Deep within the recesses, flesh piled upon flesh. Layers of it had turned gangrenous, necrotic strips marbling the lumbering hole. They spread, biting, squirming, the body attacking itself, dead and alive, struggling to control the motion of the mass.
Won't hold her forever, Keystone! Do something!
The cops retreated past them. The Selfer leisurely reached out for the magic. Britton threw open a gate and barreled through it into the Sass schoolhouse. He charged Pyre.
Jesus, Britton! Well, what the hell do you think you're-
Pyre! Through that gate, right now!
What? No, I can't-
Now, you fucker! Right fucking now!
Pyre's fireball passed into the sewer and over Downer.
Downer!
Britton followed, shutting the portal behind him. Downer's work was done by the time his boots hit the catwalk. Five elementals had sprung from the blaze. They leapt across the water, pounding the Selfer with burning fists. Britton cast his glance at the remaining cops.
Pour it on! Now! We don't get another chance!
Smoke began to overtake the corridor, until Britton could see no flesh at all. Her current waned. The smoke began to dissipate, the burning brighter. The conflagration shrank as the elementals consumed what fuel remained. Smaller, smaller, until at last a misshapen lump smoked in the center of the shallow water, immobile, stinking. There was no indication at all that it had ever been human. Britton felt the magic current gone and rushed to Downer's side.
Sarah, are you okay?
Oh, God, it hurts so bad.
Downer looked at Therese, who leaned forward, gathering the girl into an embrace.
It's all right. It's all right.
No, I'm fine. I should secure the area.
She limped off, heading toward nothing in particular. The elementals winked out, dispersing into the remaining tendrils of smoke. Britton turned to Rampart's corpse, then back to Therese.
There's nothing you can...
Nothing. He's dead.
He saved me when I first got to the source. Saw me through a firefight and got me to the file.
It was his job, Oscar. He knew what he signed up for.
The NYPD captain moved among his remaining men. Of the 20 ESU officers who had set out, 4 remained.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. What the fuck did you do? What happened to my men?
Britton shook his head, heading toward what remained of the Selfers' corpse.
What are you doing?
Hayes wants tissue samples, right?
He slopped down into the water beside the hulk of smoldering flesh. Up close, Britton could make out the remains of severed vessels, half-formed organs. He conjured a small gate and cut out a brick-sized sample, thick flesh marbled through with half-formed remnants of Lord knew what. He climbed back onto the catwalk and opened a gate back on trailer B6.
Downer, can you walk?
I'm fine.
All right, everyone back through. Tell them the job's done and to get a cleanup crew down here. I'll give a report to Fitzy.
Richards and Trullo stepped right through without any hesitation. Therese hesitated at the threshold.
What about you?
Tissue sample. I'll be along once I deliver it. Promise. Thanks for everything, Therese.
Therese nodded and stepped through. But Downer paused, facing him, eyes narrowed.
Who the hell put you in charge? Fitzy's the Coven commander.
You were very brave, Sarah. Hell, you pretty much saved us all. I'll make sure Fitzy knows it. I'm proud to serve with you.
Britton could tell it wasn't what she had expected, but her face was stone otherwise. After a long silence, she turned and walked through the gate. Britton opened a new gate and stepped through. The cold hunched his shoulders, and he wrinkled his nose at the chemical preservative smell. All around him, corpses lay on tables in various states of dissection, a macabre review of the bestiaries he had marveled at as a child. The fauna of the source spread out before him. Giant eagles, horned lions, small dragons, double-headed serpents. Here was a leopard with a human face, its tail hacked off, the flesh avulsed to reveal the articulation of the bones. There was a unicorn of storybook legend, the skin around the horn flayed back to show the attachment to the skull. Colored dye had been injected into the major veins running beneath the surface. And goblins, everywhere goblins. The desecration of their corpses shouted the central message of the Special Projects tent. Just another animal. Source fauna. Britton cast about, looking for a flat surface on which to leave the tissue sample. The only flat surface proved to be a folding aluminum writing desk strewn with files. He placed the meat on the clearest portion. A stack of files had toppled over some time ago, spreading each one out in a stepped path, the title stamped in antiquated font, theatrically stereotypical for the military. Amphisbaena, read one, spitting serpent. Another read, unicorn, horned, equine. Britton began to leaf through them, eyebrows rising at the identities of the corpses laid out around him. Then he froze.
Scylla, human necromancer.
Someone had written, uncooperativerical, across the front in red marker.
Remains steadfast in her refusal to act in her own self-interest. While it is impossible to be certain if Andrews's theory is correct regarding the elemental foundation of her magic, I see no harm in obliging him. We certainly lose nothing by trying, and frankly, right now she is little more than a drain on the taxpayer resources necessary to house and guard her. We've had outstanding success in prefrontal cortex intervention with other subjects, and I don't think I'm overstating the case when I say that it has handed this army a functional portamancer where we'd otherwise have had a serious problem. In this case, the use of the orbitoclast rendered the subject particularly vulnerable to the influence of his mother, who, fortunately, is cooperative and patriotic. While there is no such influence in Scylla's life, I respectfully request that a hard time limit be set to allow the PSYOPS team to finish their work. If IO isn't the answer here, then surgery certainly can't hurt us. We should set a deadline for prefrontal cortex intervention and see where that takes us.
Hayes stepped through the flap.
What the hell are you doing here?
Tissue sample, sir. Fitzy said you'd want it.
Fitzy took Britton's report stone-faced. He nodded curtly and sat Britton in front of a laptop, where he typed out in meticulous detail all the events he had just recounted. Eventually, Britton stopped typing and turned, looking at the chief warrant officer.
What's your problem?
It's Rampart, sir. I just... I'm sorry.
Are you fucking kidding me? Rampart was socking his bones. That man had more steel in his dick than you do in your entire body. He doesn't need your sorry.
Will there be a funeral?
There might be, but not for you. Rampart didn't know you and didn't want to know you. For you, there's work, and that starts tomorrow at 0600 sharp.
After GMAC practice the next morning, Britton made his way to the cache, hoping to find some relief for the crushing headache the sessions always gave him. He approached the hospital just as the flaps whipped open, a squad of MPs rushing through in helmets and body armor, carbines slung across their backs. Struggling in their arms, hands zip-cuffed behind him, was a goblin contractor. The squad dragged him away from the cache, long feet trailing in the mud. Britton turned to one of the orderlies, who was retrieving the tent flap from where it had snagged on one of the support poles.
What the heck was that?
Antitech goblin contractor. They busted him stealing from the cache.
What'll they do to him?
Fire him, I guess. He stole some kind of experimental medication from the special projects tent. You know, goblins. They're hooked on sugar, caffeine pills, any kind of stimulant. It was only a matter of time.
They're firing him. He's a collaborator. This base is surrounded by hostile tribes. He'll be dead before he makes it 20 feet.
Britton rushed through the flaps. He searched until he found Marty.
I need to talk to you.
Marty nodded and pulled Britton through the back of the tent and out into a muddy but private section.
Okay. No anger. Okay?
It's not okay. That goblin, you sent him? For the worm?
Yes.
Thank you, Marty, but...
Thank you. I thank you. You helped me first.
Marty, they got him. They caught him.
Okay. He mine. Logok.
Britton looked at him, uncomprehending.
My Logok. He mine. My contractor?
He works for you, but they caught him. They fired him. He'll be killed.
Sarah had fight. No like Matab on Sarah. We help.
These Sorahad will kill him?
Maybe he get home. Long walk.
Marty, thank you for trying to help me, but I didn't want anyone to die. For me, it's a big deal when someone dies, even when that person works for you, even when it's your Logok.
No, understand.
Just promise me that you won't do anything else that risks getting someone fired. I can't have that. Forget the whole worm thing. I don't care about it anymore. God, I was such an idiot. I should have said something before you sent him to... We've got to help your Logok. Do you know anyone who...
Spending quality time with your boyfriend?
Got a little banged up in the training, sir. This contractor has a knack for helping me out after I've taken a drubbing. I use him following most of our MAC sessions. I've come to rely on him.
Come off it, Keystone. I know this little piece of goblin filth drinks with you in the OC every night. You think I'm stupid? I've allowed it thus far because I thought it might be good for you to learn a bit about the Indige here, but I'm putting the hammer down now. No more fraternization. You know it's not allowed, and I'm done looking the other way. I catch this pointy-eared little terrorist in the OC, and I'm gonna have all your asses for breakfast. That clear? Don't even think about trying to help that little thief either. He's been fired and turned loose. That's all. No punishment. Even someone as soft-hearted as you should be pleased with that.
He'll die out there, and you know it.
Maybe he should have thought of that before he decided to get high off our supply. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's a quarter mile outside the wire by now. There's no way you could find him even if you tried. Let it go, Keystone. You told me that you made your peace with us, that you're a company man now. I believe you. Tonight, you're gonna put your money where your mouth is.
I get the whole right to protest thing. That's real nice. It's also real antiquated. This ain't Martin Luther King out there. Some of the people in that crowd have the ability to level a city block. You can worry about civil rights after the mission debrief. For now, civil disobedience is still disobedience. You bring order to this chaos any way you can. Captain Ridgebreaker, call sign. Mission pre-brief, Burning Man incident, Black Rock Desert, Nevada.
At 0200, Britton opened his hooch door to see an electric cart idling, with Downer behind the wheel.
Ready?
What are you doing here?
Been working with Fitzy all morning. He said I could take liberty for the rest of the day if I came and got you. Apparently he's got a recon gig for you.
You call this morning?
You want to drive?
No.
Good. I like driving. I am, after all, old enough.
Britton smiled and huddled next to her.
Are you okay?
Why wouldn't I be?
Come off it, you know why.
I'm fine. We did what we had to. I got a little sloppy, that's all. It won't happen again.
What's the op?
Damned if I know. I salute smartly and do my job.
Listen to you.
What?
You sound like a military officer, saluting smartly.
I do?
Yeah. You've really come along. Dropped all that weight, too. You're a shadow of your former self.
Thanks, Osk. Keystone. Kinda wish my mom could see me now.
Why's that?
You know, she was just always... She was just really religious. She never found out I was a probe. Well, she probably did, but that was only after she thought I was dead. She was a mega bitch. She's probably glad to think I'm dead.
I know what you mean.
But now I'm doing good work. I'm helping out. I think if my mom could see that, it might, you know...
Change her mind about you.
Yeah, she never thought much of me. She used to call me her little piggy. Mostly, she was mad, I think, because I never took to church the way she wanted me to.
It was like that for me, too.
Your mom?
My dad. He was a real piece of work. He was pretty religious, too. And he never liked me.
Does he think you're dead?
He's out there somewhere. Probably in some monster's belly.
You gated him out here?
In front of my mom. Right before I ran.
Well, it's all behind you now. You got a presidential pardon, same as me. Harlequin says we're all legal now. Totally in compliance.
Why do you think this whole operation is so secret? The confidentiality agreements? Why we're contractors instead of SOC? This whole thing is completely illegal.
She looked dead ahead, her lips pursed, searching for a reply. He regretted his words.
It's all right. This country was founded on breaking a law. Sometimes laws don't get the job done. Sometimes it takes brave people to do that.
Harlequin said we're all in compliance.
He wouldn't steer you wrong. He seems to really like you. You got a boyfriend?
He instantly knew he had erred.
Idiot. Your team gunned him down.
He had meant to flatter her, but she grew quiet, her face clouded.
I'm sorry. That was stupid of you.
Nah, he was stupid. He was just a kid. He smoked and stuff. Things are different now. I'm trained and I've grown up a lot. Tom was nice, but he really wasn't good with magic the way... Well, you know, the way some people are.
Being young doesn't necessarily make you stupid. He was probably doing the best he could, just like you.
They rode in silence the rest of the way to the flight line. Three helos, two Apaches and a Blackhawk, were spun up and awaiting them. Fitzy waved from the Blackhawk, motioning Britton to board, then dismissed Downer. The helos launched skyward, veered sharply, and set off. The plane gently rose, clustered with tangles of vegetation. Campfires burned here and there, too far below for Britton to make out their sources. After a few minutes, the plane gave way to thick forest. Spiky treetops clustered so thickly that Britton couldn't make out the trunks. Fitzy signaled the flight officer, and the helo shuddered. Britton could see the rotor tips, the low blur shifting as the pilot made adjustments. The birds sagged in the air.
What do you think?
Britton started as he realized that he could hear the chief warrant officer much more clearly.
It ain't silent running, but it'll do. We're gonna make a recon pass over a goblin fortress. It's causing us problems every time we want to reach the coast, and command wants it out of our backfield. You're gonna get a nice long look at the field inside the palisade. Once you feel confident, we're gonna gate in and clear the place.
The birds began to descend, dropping close enough for Britton to make out the pointed tops of the trees, sparkling with frost.
No way this is quiet enough. They'll hear us.
But not until we're on top of them. Just keep your eyes open and get a good look. The less time on target, the safer we'll all be.
If it's such a problem, why not hit it from the air?
Because we want to capture the Heptaback alive. Command thinks the other Sorahad tribes might fall in line if we can convince the leaders to negotiate.
The Hepta who?
It's their leader, like a prince. You can tell him from the white dots on his face. Remember when you asked me before about the mountain god you saw when you first landed at the LZ?
Yeah.
Well, you just keep an eye out for anything like that.
What do you mean, sir? What am I supposed to be looking for?
Anything like that, I said. Anything big and black. Or anything who looks like they might be buddies with anything big and black. Sharp teeth, booga booga, whatever. We don't normally come in this low or this quiet, so we should have a minute or so before all hell breaks loose. If that's enough time, we'll try to stay on the hop over the fastness. You keep looking until you have a good fix on the area.
The The helo swept low over the trees. The sharpened stakes of a palisade wall came into view. The rough bark had been scraped off felled trees, their sharpened points adorned with wooden turrets at regular intervals. Small watch fires burned in some of them. Britain could make out squat goblin silhouettes cradling spears. The central keep rose on a grassy hill behind them. Huge turrets thrust into the sky, peaked towers roofed with spiraling patterns of slate. An enormous gate, at least 4 stories high, split the palisade. Larger turrets rose to either side, each with a long triangular banner hanging down the wall's face, shrouded in darkness. The helicopters put on speed, close enough that stealth was no longer a concern. One of the Apaches opened up with a rocket. The helicopters raced over the wall and out over the swath of ground outside the keep. Britain could see scores of goblins racing to and fro. At the base of one of the towers, a smaller pen was built, its railing higher and topped with sharpened stakes. Colored paint gleamed from the posts, clustered thick with guards, big by goblin standards. Banners flapped from the corners, showing the same winged wheel that Britain had seen on the banner where the Apache selfies had kept their hostages. The center of the pen was empty, but Britain squinted as he looked at it. The air shimmered, as if a heat haze dwelt there in spite of the cold weather. The helicopter moved too fast for him to focus on it. Suddenly, he saw a streak of white issue from the base of the keep.
They've got a sorcerer down there!
One of the Apache pilots had seen it. The white figure flung up its hands and vanished in the rain of lead.
All right, I've got it! I've fixed it! Let's get out of here!
The flight officer nodded. The Apaches fell into formation as the Black Hawk turned toward the palisade wall, gaining elevation. It stopped in midair, wrenching so hard that Britain pitched forward. Britain landed hard on his shoulder, one arm dangling out of the helicopter. He looked out the open door. Down the length of the bird, he could see the tail fixed firmly in a wooden grip. One tower burned brightly where the rocket had struck it. The other had grown outward, its wooden form budding, the planks sprouting leaves and branches. Fresh bark covered its gnarled surface, forming a massive fist that held the helo fast. A white-painted goblin stood at the fist's base, a leather cape sewn with metal discs slung around his neck. He gestured, and the fist moved inward, hauling the Black Hawk down to the parapet wall, beside a post with a giant bird skull, striped red and orange, fixed to the top. Britain stared at the skull. He had seen it before. But there was no time. Goblin warriors raced along the walls toward them, brandishing weapons. Their Terramancer walked along the branch, surrounded by 5 goblins, their long ears pointed out from beneath conical steel helmets. 3 brandished curved, broad-bladed swords. The other 2 held pistols.
Shut her down! You'll tear us apart!
Britain turned to the soldiers, leaning out of the bay with their carbines leveled.
Keep the parapet clear and I can get us out of here!
The Apaches wheeled above, opening fire, raining bullets on the ground. The throng on the parapet was too close to the Black Hawk for them to risk firing on them. Britain looked towards the pilots.
Get your butts out on the parapet where I can gate you to safety, and wave the damn Apaches off! They can't do anything here!
One of the pilots struggled with his harness. Fitzy ran to assist him.
Stay in the damn bird! We can't lose you!
Britain ignored him, stepping out onto the parapet wall. They would be overwhelmed in moments.